Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Assembly Rooms Ballroom. Please welcome a man who stayed up till 11:30 p.m. last night. It's incredible. It's Richard Herring. Oh yeah, I stayed up all night. All night, 11:30 I was up till. Incredible scenes for a 55-year-old man. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Richard Herring's Landlords Shall Triumph podcast. Living a big newspaper article today about how people like Tony Law, who's a fantastic comedian, you must go and see. He's done this podcast a couple of times. Liam knows him. And he's having to stay in a caravan like 2 to 3 miles away because that's the only thing he can afford. So Fringe is in a lot of trouble. That's what I'm going to say. But I was hanging out with the cool kids in the Fringe Club in 1987 last night, and they call it Rahulastapas. I don't know if that's going to catch. I was at the Gilded Balloon, which when I first came to Edinburgh, 35 years ago. I'm really, I don't know how old, really old people cope, because something being 35 years ago and you're an adult just really absolutely makes me feel sick. Every time I go somewhere that I remember from 1987, I go, oh, no, it can't be 35 years. It can't be. And I was in the Gilded Balloon toilets, which I remember very well from the Fringe Club. We used to go down there and play pinball. And it was the only place I could get a shower. It was still pretty bad in 1987, to be honest. We slept on the floor of the Masonic Lodge on Johnson Terrace. There was about 30 people sleeping on the floor. And we just put tables up to divide our little rooms up. And there was no bathroom. There was one toilet, I think, between 50 people. But we were happy that 35 years have hurt. And I've been to see some shows, so that's very exciting. I saw the Guest of the Day show last night, which was fantastic. We will talk about that more. And I saw Janine Garofalo, who will be the guest on their 10th
here. Do come and see that. She's absolutely amazing. It's kind of incredible stream of consciousness and amazing to see her live. So do come. I think it's either going to be the greatest or the worst Rahalastapa ever. Either way, it'll be the greatest, right? Because, you know, it's going to be unpredictable is what I'm going to say. Brian Blessed may have nothing on Janice. So do check out all these shows. I'm going to go and see The Cat in the Hat tomorrow. 10 a.m. Who's with me? I was going to do the park run and then I forgot and I booked in a show with... I'm taking the kids. I'm not weird. I'm taking the kids. The kids are coming. It's wonderful. We booked 4 kids shows, 3 adults, 2 kids. For most of them, I'm not going to some of them. £203. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Edinburgh. Try and break me. Anyway... and I was going to say, yeah, the landlords, I was working out, because I'm staying in a very nice flat, right, so this is partly my fault. It's extremely expensive. If this show sold out every day, which people in the room may suspect it isn't doing, I would still be giving the landlord over £2 of each of your tickets will be going to the landlord, which is way more than I'll get. That doesn't seem right. We'll probably return to this over the next few performances. Do come and see some more shows. Me complain. It's going to destroy the fringe, Edinburgh. It's your fringe. My guest this week. We're putting these out 3 weeks. This one will go out next Friday. If you're listening, it's going out today. He's best known. I mean, it's very difficult when it's an international guest to know what their best known credit is. Because it might actually be what they're best known for, and that would be a disaster. He's best known for his appearance on The Dan Nichol Show. Will you please welcome the amazing, I saw him last night, he's amazing, Conrad Koch. Here he is. Do come in. Have some water. Oh, they're the wrong way round. I've given you my one. I'll have to swap these round, or this could be a disaster. You get to keep that mug. That's yours.
Thank you.
No one can take that away from you.
I was a guest on RHLSTP.
Yeah.
How many genders is that? Hello, everybody.
It's Conrad. How are you doing?
I'm really great. It's an honour to be here. Yeah. I said to you, I was in this audience in 2019, so it's quite a show. I'm here now. So it's really an honour to be here. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's fantastic to have you. I saw your show last night. I mean... you do a ventriloquist act, it's very big in South Africa.
Ventriloquism.
your show, it's a big show.
But
it may be not as well known in the UK. I mean, we have got some South African listeners, so you can turn away now. No, you want them to listen. So how did the act come about, and what sent you down the route? You're not a typical ventriloquist, I wouldn't say, to look at, in that you look quite cool and normal.
Oh, thank you. It's all my wife's doing.
What attracted you to the mental paedophile attracting?
Playing with dolls and talking to myself. Yeah. Well, I grew up during apartheid. I had to talk to myself. South Africa, there wasn't really a comedy scene pre-1994 for obvious reasons. and I love the concept of ventriloquism because it's such a subversive, you know. Yeah. It's not me, it's the puppets. Was Boris Johnson. It's not me, it's Liz. And... that kind of came together with the political environment I grew up in. So when I studied, anthropology, I was during the Truth and Reconciliation Commission times, you know, people was coming to stories of actual sort of apartheid torture, the atrocities. And I grew up in a very sort of liberal, safe part of Cape Town.
Yeah.
When you grow up in apartheid, they don't really tell you you're in apartheid now. They don't go, okay, well, some people want a nice life and you're all apartheid, and some people just want a chance at life and you're one of the lucky ones. They don't do that. So it sort of came to me in layers, and the anthropology was a big part of that. So the ventriloquism went hand in hand with that because it was a way to speak truth to that dynamic. It just sort of goes with it because a puppet can say what's going on in a way that... it's just harder for a stand-up to do.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a fun trick because then people are laughing, but you know the story. And so that's kind of what happened. It was just a weird... The two joys came together when speaking about this weird world that I found myself in.
Yeah.
And also just the subversiveness of ventriloquism.
Yeah, and I guess most ventriloquists aren't highly political.
No. Well, I think they are. They just don't know it. I mean, Jeff Dunham as a dead Muslim guy. So yeah, it's pretty political in the wrong kind of way. So, okay. It's a dead Muslim guy. You sure? You just invaded Iraq? You sure you're going with that? Okay. Yeah, it's South Africa's a very political place, overtly.
Yeah, so it had to. And so Chester Missing is the character that you have various characters, but this is the one that that's in your show.
His career took off in ways mine didn't.
So how did it get to, because it's become this big thing, but it's a puppet act rather than a ventriloquist act on the TV.
Yes.
So how did that come about? And
well, we have a TV show. We had a TV show. It's like a political news show called Late Night News with Loy Segolo, who's come here a few times to the festival, a friend of mine. And so Loy had this show, and then we needed it. He's like, come do like some of your, because I do politics, you know, the anthropology type stuff, anthropology study of white guilt, has the word apology in it, as I say in the show. But so arrived at the show, and they're like, well, how are we going to do this? Because South Africa, a lot of the words are very complex, like Ramaphosa is our president, so you try saying that without moving your lips. Ramaphosa. And so it just made sense for me to hide under the table. And I did, and then this guy's career exploded. He proper became very, very famous, and he said he's a household name and nobody knows who I am.
And what was the... So what's the... How would you describe the character?
Chester's story is crazy. So he started off as a black guy. I'm white. It means all the things you would think it means.
Yeah.
But remember, his fans are black. It's a black audience. So we're not doing shows for white people mocking black people. He's nailing me for being a white guy and the privilege and historical legacy of apartheid. You're going to stand in South Africa. We didn't deal with apartheid. It just didn't get dealt with. It ended, and then the economic legacy, which is actually what apartheid was, exists. So the white South Africans still on average 5 times wealthier than black South Africans on average. 6 out of 10 senior managers are still white. In other words, if you want to make it in your career, it's normally a white dude, deciding. Which, in other words, if your accent doesn't sound right, you know, so this doesn't sound middle class sounding, you've got a more working class black sort of sounding accent, you get treated less like you're less intelligent. Most black South Africans still only live on £2 a day. So when you guys go, we've got a cost of living crisis. No, you politicians have budgeting problems. It's not the same. So Chester sort of was a black guy on the TV show, and he became white because I obviously had to deal with the blackface conversation of that. And as soon as I needed to, I did Just for Laughs Canada.
Yeah.
And it's like, they just didn't understand, like, because you've got to know a little bit about race to get what's going on. You know? If you only know 2 black guys, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand what we're saying. So, he was just really famous for interviewing politicians. So I got to interview some of them on his own. He'd like arrive at Luthuli House, which is where the African National Congress, you know, Nelson Mandela's party, which runs, so they always, kind of one party state sub situation. And they, he'd interview their senior most guys and ladies, and that created traction, and suddenly politicians were kind of queuing, and I'd have cabinet ministers arriving, walking past each other because they've got to go chat to the puppets.
Yeah.
And they'd like ask to interview him. They would get selfies with him. Like,
what was it's sort of incredible because I've watched a few clips of it, there's right wing people in this. You know, they all seem very keen to do it. But you're not. You know, Chester is being quite rude to them and picking.
Oh, he's in their face. Yeah, proper.
Yeah. So what's the appeal for them to do the interviews? You would think they would shy away from it.
Pain and suffering. Politicians. They know they need it. No. You see, the thing about being a politician, and your politicians have the same problem. They're just more kind of professionalized culture than your politics. You've got an older political culture. So all politicians are constrained by their public persona, right? So Rishi Sunak has got to be, I'm a family guy, even if he doesn't like his family. He's got to tell you he's a family guy. They all got to do that. They got to be, I'm the this, so that you'll buy my product. And satire is one of the few times they have a license to be more gregarious and bring out their kind of other side of themselves.
Yeah.
And in South Africa in particular, you know, part of the struggle against apartheid was a lot to do with humor. I mean, if you're not going to cry, you're going to laugh, you know, that kind of thing. So within the African National Congress, and I mean, I'm interviewing people who were jailed during apartheid. They were in on Robben Island sort of thing. So, so I'm going there as a white guy. So it's very complex, the political terrain, because say our ex-president's name is Jacob Zuma. He's very corrupt, but he's also a polygamist. He's got like I've got a joke that goes: you phone his house and the answering machine goes, "Sanbonani, reach the Zumas. Unfortunately, Jacob Gertrude Nompolalelo Tebekum Shilozi Gugutuli Tuti Taziz Kopile Edwards Nono and Tandikile are all in the shower." please leave a message. And so, you know, I'm very cautious with the politics of those kind of jokes because you don't want to Eurocentric, you don't want to be racist at someone's culture while you're doing it. So you kind of all say mocking, he's a total slut, this president. Rape allegations, and it's terrible. But at the same time, you don't want to hyperbolize black men's sexuality. That's a very racist kind of trope in white creation of black identity. So that kind of nuance I'm very cautious about. And because I nail my own privilege and take on apartheid to the point that the right wing loathed me and I've heard my street address put a line and family threatened and all this stuff, the ANC sort of and most of the political left are very comfortable with talking to me because they know that I'm not leaving apartheid off the table.
Yeah.
So the political realm is a mix of the social world, the economic world, and the political, and we always, when we interpret politics, always go, it's just the politicians, but it's not. It's also who has the money. And if white people have the money, we shape what media gets heard. We share most of our media's in English, but we've got 11 official languages. Most white South Africans can't speak a single African language. So it's the power of colonialism.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's sort of, I realized how little I know about coming to this show, watching the clips, you sort of, as someone in the UK, you sort of think, oh, that all got sorted in the 1990s.
No, fuck no, not at all.
It's all right again. And so, you know, and you don't hear, you know, we don't hear very much about South Africa anymore here, really. So, you know, and within the show, you talk about the striking miners being shot.
Marikana, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the problem is that when I come here, I've got to be a thing to you. You've got to be, well, you're a ventriloquist, you're a white South African, which is how I start the show. I'm a white South African ventriloquist. You've got two reasons to think I'm a cunt. And sort of just, we know that's the offer.
Yeah.
But then what else? And so I've got to, but something that sort of the West sometimes seems to forget is our story is your story. Like the Land Act that took away black owned land was created by the British. And that economic privilege is why you've got the NHS. It's why Margaret Thatcher, I remember a white school teacher in like probably 1989 saying, oh, Margaret Thatcher is a wonderful lady. She stands by us. You know who us was? White people.
Yeah.
And so that trying to connect that legacy, because, you know, in South Africa, the privilege is obvious. You wouldn't think it if you chat to a lot of white South Africans, but it is obvious because the poor people are there. They're like outside. They're in the shacks on the freeway there. But here, the privilege is less overt because one would think, oh, that's your problems. Your government failed. But our government is a product of the West and apartheid keeping that they were in jail. Robert Mugabe is a result of British colonialism. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, what shines through, I think, is your own sort of anthropological understanding, and there's a point where you talk about their race being invented, isn't there? You sort of briefly allude to that, which is something
that Emma
Tabiri talked about when she was a guest on the show. That it's so you know that you really know your stuff, which really helps. Do you find it? What I thought was impressive was that, you know, you've come to the UK, and obviously you travel the whole world, right? And you do gigs all over the world, but you must have to change the act a great deal. It did feel like very tailored to a UK audience, and pretty much every reference we understood, right? You managed to make sure all your references.
I worked very hard to do that because I went overseas. I did like just for laughs, and I was like, "Oh my god, you have no idea what's going on here." Terrified. Chester has a joke where he scrunches his face. I'll do it later. He scrunches his face and he goes, "That's the face racists make when they find out they're getting black neighbors," and white people shit themselves. And I did that show in Regina in Canada. And I'd never really toured outside of South Africa. And the acts from Toronto at the back were killing themselves. They're loving that because I got the nuance. They knew who I was punching, right?
Yeah.
You have to read the politics of the joke. And you guys in the room, whatever, you're comedy savvy. But if you don't know it's coming and you live in a very white world, you won't go, he's laughing at racists. It's okay for me to laugh. This is fine. So I go, okay, I've got to slow it down and I've got to explain. So I learned that I have to frame myself and slow it. So I literally toured the whole Commonwealth, planned. I had spent my life's savings doing it because it's very expensive,
yeah.
So that I could come here and know that you would understand me when I talk about Marikana.
Yeah. It was interesting because I saw Janine's show, and Janine Garofalo's show, which is amazing, but it's just, it's called about going off on a tangent, which is what she does. But like a lot of the references were for things that the audience didn't get, and it sort of didn't matter. But then to see your show afterwards, it was sort of like, okay, this. I think there was one thing you said, it was something like a game of 30 seconds or something.
Oh, yeah, there was a game, I thought you all knew what 30 seconds was. And then there's another one, it's a callback in the show that I didn't, because I don't know what your racism is like. On the ground,
yeah.
Like you guys say things like you're racist. You, it's not us. We're not the racists. Of course you're not. It's never us. You guys say things like I'm not racist, but yeah. You know, some of my best friends are black. You say that stuff, right? So in South Africa or Australia, they'll do this. In America, I'm confident they'll do it too. They'll imply the racism. So they go, I've got a new neighbor, and he's you know. You know, they start doing weird shit with their face. Or they look around first. They go, what a new neighbor. And then, so this is really racist. They'll imply race with like a gesture. They go, what a new neighbor. And he's, you know, they do that or that. And that means a person of color. And so I mock that in the show, but you guys don't fucking get that thing. You know? No idea. So I'm going to explain racism to you.
You talk about this in the show, and I wasn't sure whether it was like a joke or whether it was true. But you got taken to court, but you didn't get taken to court. The puppet got taken. To court.
We both did, but yeah, literally.
You
taken
sort of
to court.
You have probably had to go along.
I had to go. It was very weird. It's as weird as it sounds. Yeah.
So what's the story behind that?
So we have a lot of racists in South Africa. Who knew? And so the right wing's all about denying apartheid, which is what you have happening now. Liz Truss going, oh, let's be proud of the past. Like, which parts? Which part? When you genocided native Tasmanians, is that the part you're proud of? Which part are you proud of? Be specific. So he tweeted, in my books, this guy Steve Hoffman tweeted, in my books, blacks are the architects of apartheid, which is quite heavy language, but what it kind of implying, paraphrasing before I get taken to court again, what he was saying is that black people kind of deserved apartheid in his head because he thinks they're less evolved. It's as fucked up as it sounds. And so Chester has a lot of Twitter followers, much more than me. And he tweeted back, yo, Steve, that is because you haven't graduated above books that you color in. And then we went on a campaign because it was kind of like, you know, the thing about being white is you got to use your advantages when it's uncomfortable. So when you're in a situation, you know, racism always happens when it's awkward. It's always your boss or a relative, and you're going to ruin the barbecue or the birthday, and if you don't stand up, who else will? And that pain is you using your privilege. That's a lot of the show. It's the same with demanding that we pay reparations, you know, for slavery and colonialism and so on. So I went on a full campaign. I've got clients of mine from our biggest shopping network, Pick and Pay, our Tesco's and Land Rover and so on, who were sponsoring events that this guy was doing. And I said, you guys stand by what he's saying. Do you agree that black people deserve to party? Because if you don't, why are you still letting him on stage?
Yeah.
And we went in a whole proper thing with Twitter and phoning them and stuff. And that ended up, this guy went and laid a charge of harassment that's normally used for abused women. Like,
right.
There you go. It's just insane. And a very young magistrate led it through. So I had in law that if I tweeted him, if Chester tweeted him, literally, because Chester was the one tweeting, right? So.
I mean, it wasn't, though, because his hands don't work well enough.
Don't lie. Don't lie, Richard. They've got to prove that Chester's not is me is what they've got to do if they're going to win that, right?
Because
there's no... I don't, my name's... It doesn't say this is Conrad on the side.
True, okay.
So literally, if I'd said his name at a show, if Chester said his name, if I Chester tweeted his name, this was what was funny. Chester tweeted his name, I would go to jail. Like, literal for 2 weeks.
Right.
So Chester was like, you're my bitch. And sort of like a Voldemort situation, you shall not be named. And that's, and we ended up having to go to courts to get that overthrown. And it sort of made world news because it was such a crazy thing that this puppet was in courts. And,
but were you ventriloquizing the puppet in the court?
I did take him. I mean, I didn't have to. He was there. He was there. But I couldn't talk to, because it also went any of his associates I couldn't talk to. So technically, Chester couldn't talk to his lawyer, who's like, was massive racist. This was just crazy racist guy. And then when we won, Chester just, there's a video online you can follow of Chester chasing this racist out of the courtroom going, this Panzi means down in Zulu. Like, Panzi racism, Panzi. Panzi racism. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was also disturbing because of my wife got phoned and through, a woman of color, got phoned and threatened by white supremacists and stuff, and my studio just got put online. So it's pretty dark. So I don't go there a lot. So I don't mess with that crowd a lot because it's the, I'd rather just put it in a show.
Hey
there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I have dabbled a little with ventriloquism myself. I'll give you a few tips later on. But but I think what's interesting is you hear this a lot from... I mean, like, we were talking backstage about Rod Hull came up, who wasn't even a ventriloquist, but he came to quite resent that he had this emu character who would just grab boys' penises, essentially.
One way to do
that
it.
That wasn't really the act, but it was part of the act. And he would sort of attack people. But Rod came to quite resent the success of...
Oh, Iris, this puppet is famous, man. People call me Chester. They don't care that I have a name.
But also, it's, you know, what I like about doing it is obviously, you know, is the way that, you know, the puppet sort of becomes the dark side of your own brain, usually the stuff that you try to stamp down. But we'll, you know, last night I was watching it. I quite like it because it's quite a bullying act. You are trying to say stuff and he will interrupt you and he'll do all the talking, but also he'll reveal things about you that you don't want to be revealed.
You know
it's you. Yeah. You know. So you know, but I've experienced that as well. Do you enjoy that kind of... I mean, it's sort of flirting with almost with schizophrenia or mental illness in some way, but in the way that comedy often treads that line anyway, I think, is about sort of the mad fool. Is that what attracts you to ventriloquism, or is that just a sort of byproduct?
No, that is what attracted me to ventriloquism. I love the kind of... Because it's at this one level, we're all being childlike, we're all lost in this person's life, And with this guy, because he appeared on TV on his own, people treat him like he's alive. Plus, they're no ventriloquist, so the concept of ventriloquism is not part of the South African culture. Right. So they don't care that there's a word ventriloquism, really, or the lips, they don't care about that.
Yeah.
But it's the same here, just you guys are more ventriloquism aware. So the offer of, ah, the little guy's alive, this is so silly. And then he's saying, yeah, you benefited from colonialism. So look at, what? So it's got that edge allows you to say amazingly political things. So for me, I think ventriloquism could be used far more politically. They don't seem to do it. But it is a really joyful way of dealing with some quite dark stuff. And my other shows are often a bit lighter because you can't make a lot of money talking about racism all the time because the people with the money are the ones who need to hear the message and they don't want to hear the message. And the people without the money are the ones who are going, yes, say it, but they can't buy tickets because they're all Uber drivers and my fans are poor. So it's an amazing way to allow a kind of social discussion of the unsayable. Stand-up also has the same offer because your offer is playfulness and it's all, Stuart Lee's circle of whatever that thing is, the clowns, that thing. Ventriloquism, I think, is like almost one up on that because you've committed to this illusion that we're all...
Yeah, well, within my, my Victorian puppet can say things... That we're not allowed to say now.
Because they're Victorian.
It's the same thing. You're going, no, we can't. This is a comedy. Because there's some serious stuff in the show, and that's what I think. It's a funny show, and there's a lot of jokes, and there's jokes coming at you every minute, really. Every few seconds. But then there are some much more serious and dark things, and weirdly. Coming from a cartoonish puppet, that sort of seems... It does seem to hit home more. It's sort of fascinating the way that works. And the way that, you're in a tiny little room, so there's no... Yeah. There's no hide...
It's on you.
It's right on you. We can see you. But you actually can so concentrate on the puppet so much, I think, that you sort of... It's a beautiful puppet. We will see. We'll get the puppet out later, but we don't... We'll leave that till the end.
No, he's weird. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
so
weird.
He's already said how he's upset because everyone wants the puppet, not him.
We're doing it again. Go away.
And then we'll get the puppet out. You can look at the puppet. I might have a puppet. I might have a puppet out here somewhere. look. Well, tell us about because you do. So you do a more family show, right? With all the other puppets.
Your whole fun. I mean, it's always got some subversive. I've got an ostrich that I make out of two. It's a really fun show. I make out of two feather dusters and a slipper and some sunglasses, and then I put it together on stage, and suddenly it's an ostrich. Really fun. Likes to party, Love lockdown because it was illegal for your in-laws to visit you. and I've got a school teacher, old man school teacher puppet who's always getting upset about you, teaches you rugby, he doesn't know rugby. He says, if you want to know about rugby, that convince people you know rugby, you've got to say, Ariadadadai. It's a very South African way of saying it. Anyways, you've got to say it as one word. Ariadadadai. The back line needs work. What does that mean? I've got no idea. But it's always true. So, and that I got it, I kind of do it as like a trickery to get the white people in the room. And then, racism. I've got a mosquito puppet. I've got a DJ puppet that I make out of a hoodie and a cap. But use his feet. My feet are his hands.
Yeah.
My hands come through the sleeves. And then he's got an iPad here. And his face is here. And then he DJs live. Okay. Yeah, it's really fun show. Yeah.
Are you coming up with ideas all the time and some of them work and some of them don't? Or how do you know when a character's going to be sort of big enough for the show or good enough for the show, or are you just trying things out?
Yeah, no, it's which is exactly a stand-up. You just got it, which is why ventriloquism is so time-consuming, because you got to build a whole other stand-up social. Like when you do stand-up, this is Richard, this is vibe, it's going to be a bit insulting, but funny, super charming. That's your contract, right?
Yeah.
Leaving now. Leave. So you got to do the same thing over and over and over because each puppet has a different deal with the audience. Yeah. So some of them are like slower. So I've got this old man puppet who's a teacher who's much slower. Like he can hold back. He's got a lot of presence.
Yeah.
Versus Chester's very fast. The ostrich are very fast. So I play around with a different sort of voice, and I'm trying to sort of do both because I have to do both for two reasons. Firstly, I'm a white South African. If I make all my living out of talking about racism, benefiting from apartheid twice, as I say in the show.
But all that's it's interesting that you're a white guy. It's interesting that you're appealing to black audiences in South Africa. But then it's interesting that you mentioned in the show last year you came to Edinburgh and there wasn't a black person of colour in the audience at all. I don't think yesterday.
It's crazy.
So it's a very different audience. But then but you do address that within it. But also, I think especially in South Africa, but generally, the issue isn't just. You know, racism is a white issue more than a black issue in that we need to convince white people not to be racist.
Racism is a white issue.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not a black issue. Yeah. But that's exactly right. And the problem is, and this is, I wrote a chortle thing now for this about this because it's incredibly hard to point out because we're so in it.
Yeah.
You see, when I talk about race, say if I do a show on feminism and I just complete respect, I understand women go through things I cannot imagine, but if you do a show on feminism at this festival, at least half the population here are women. So you got some people behind you. Some of the reviewers, not enough, but some of them will be women. If you do a show on race, look around the room.
Awkward.
It's like swimming upstream. Yeah. None of the reviewers are black. The audience isn't black. And that edits what Sable is. A French philosopher, Michel Foucault, which is about the connection between power and truth. So every society has a system of what is Sable. So when I say white people benefited from apartheid, you guys, as British people, are going to get, duh. You know, that was obvious to you in the 60s. That's why you were there marching. In South Africa, it's still contested. It's like, that's crazy. What do you say? And I have clients of black executives who want me to come do this show on racism, not diversity, on racism. And they have black, other executives who go, oh, it's going to scare the white people. And all I'm saying is that apartheid benefited white people. And the whites, of course, if I say colonialism benefited you, it becomes a bit like, oh, but I worked hard. And you're like, well, did you? Do you know that, you know, in South Africa we have black kids drowning in shit at school toilets? Are there any kids in the UK drowning in shit in school toilets? Cecil John Rhodes' legacy, who's a British mining magnate, sent all the money back here. So the conversation is challenging to white people because it implies that we didn't work as hard as we think we did. And the truth is, we didn't. I mean, my wife's a person of color. I wouldn't last a day in her life compared to the shit she goes through because of the legacy of colonialism. So the problem is saying that to white people means you have no backup. So the show you saw last night is 50% funnier if there's black people in the room. There's a thing where I go, I apologize for apartheid in the show. I say, Mr. I apologize for apartheid. So I go, I'm sorry about apartheid. I'm sorry, man. I'm deeply sorry about apartheid. And then Chester goes, fuck all happened. It changed nothing. And then in South Africa, you'll go, give Thabo, and Thabo, black guy, sitting in the front, give Thabo your house. And the audience's response is an explosion. It's emotional. It's filled with fuck. Yeah. Yes. Versus in this room, there's no black people, so I can't even go to one black guy in the front. And the audience, you guys, it's not through no fault of your own, are less connected to the conversation,
yeah.
Which edits out the conversation. So merely by the fact of your whiteness, and it's not an attack, but the fact of your whiteness creates a sort of racism that exists that we didn't create, but it is there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about understanding the privilege that history has given us without, I mean, you know, there's no point in feeling like, oh,
you didn't do it.
It's not you. You didn't do it, but it's understanding that it's there and, you know, and making an attempt, I suppose, at least to make
Yeah, that's where it gets weird as we start going, well, what do we do now? And this will give the money back is what you can do now. Okay.
Yeah.
The NHS is nice, eh? We would also like some NHS.
Yeah, it's true. We will talk. Have you been to see anything else in Edinburgh yet, or
the show has been a title. I mean, as you saw last night, the first night was a train wreck because I did the South African version that I really worked hard to make understandable to you guys. But apparently, there's some things that are not the same. Board games is one of them. 30 seconds, yeah. And I did a Boris Johnson impression that I'm trying to work on, but in South Africa, they don't care about Boris. And then I get here, I go, what do you go with? And I'm trying to build that type of stuff. So I'm going to see Frankie Boyle tomorrow because I want tonight because I want to just get a sense of what your the political connect. What does Liz Truss mean to you guys? What does Rishi Sunak mean to you guys? Yeah, yeah. And I got some of the jokes working well. You saw I did listen last night.
Yeah, no, I thought it was very. That's what I having again seen what you're doing in South Africa and then thinking, well, this and obviously there's stuff about South Africa in the show, but it's. It's you know, I thought you'd done a fantastic job of making it relevant to the audience. You're in the Pleasance Bunker 3.
Yeah, it's like a little smaller than the stage. It's great.
I mean, I didn't think the Pleasance could squeeze any more venues out of that place.
There's actually a venue behind my venue. Is a box thing.
Because it's interesting. I went into the Pleasance and walked around and said, "Oh, where's the bunker?" They said, "Oh, it's back. It's in the Grand." So you go to the Grand, and then there's. I mean, I don't know why they haven't. Maybe they have used them before. I've not ever seen anything there before. But yeah, so there's three of those bunkers, is there?
Well, I'm called Bunker 3. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have any bunkers.
We told them, I'm going to talk about racism. They said, guard side.
If you're going to be a racist, go in a bunker.
Go in the bunker.
That's where you have to be. So yeah, it was lovely to be back in the Pleasance last night as well. You know, so it's how many times have you been to Edinburgh? You obviously came in 2019.
I've just getting to see shows. I've never done my own show.
Oh, this is really
because I was very aware that I need to build up to it. So I did Canadian festivals in Australia, and then I came here. This is obviously the sort of the Holy Grail of festivals. So it's worked my way here. So I'm really enjoying it. This is an honor for me to be with you, and it's honor. Thank you. For coming. I mean, I was like, Richard Herring's in my show. This is amazing. I was very excited. So it's really satisfying to get on stage and find a way to talk about this stuff in a global kind of way. And now I'm going to start just adding and building how the Anglican Church was involved in colonialism. And they said, we love you, and also we steal from you. Love thy neighbor, and we're going to steal from like the Tinder swindlers.
Yeah, but you know, it's there's a lot of fascinating, clever stuff in there, but it's still a bloke with a puppet.
So yeah,
it's fine. You're going to enjoy
playing with dolls.
Let me ask you some emergency questions before we. We'll have to get Chester out in a second. Well, let me see what I'm going to ask you. Do you Google yourself?
I don't do it a lot because I have pissed off the right wing so much that I don't even log into my own Twitter account. Just as a Twitter account, and I've blocked hard on that. But my own Twitter, I don't go because I will get some alt-right guy telling me how talentless I am every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can understand that. Is it? Do you just tune it out, that stuff, or is it sort of a scary thing?
I'm used to it. I'm relatively good at, because I'm a white guy talking about political heroes and so on, so I get told I'm racist 5 times a day, but by people who are pretty crazy, so I can tell, no, you're just an asshole. But the problem is when you're like in a bit of a difficult space and someone is saying, hey, you're not talented. And I was like, I just turned down a talent show in the States. I'm not bad. I mean, I'm okay. Why are you going to be a dick? And so if you're in the wrong space, and this stuff is... The racism conversation is emotionally grueling, especially because of the shit my wife goes through. She's an actor in Cape Town, and she gets told to put on, like, an accent, and as a black person, it's crazy. So I just get down from that point of view, so I've got to, like, manage my emotional state. So most of the time, I'm fine. But every now and again, they're like, ah...
I think that's true. You know, I think for all comedians, there's an element of that. It's not quite as extreme as it might be for you. But I think and mostly you can ignore it. And then weirdly, I just find out, I do Google myself, but I think it's more to, it's more of a reality thing than a vanity thing. People think it's vanity if you do it, but you see stuff that you probably don't want to see. And most of the time, you can go, it doesn't matter, and then occasionally one will really get under your skin. And mainly because it's just you just want to get to the person and go, look, can I just explain to you?
That's exactly it.
It's
so unreasonable.
Right, let's. Which celebrity would you like to stroke your hair as you die?
It's got to be one of the Thunderbirds.
It's got to be, of course. Why not? So you that into puppets.
Yes, definitely. When I die, there's got to be a puppet going, make me talk.
All right, here's a question that hopefully will change the subject away. If you had to be given oral sex by a dinosaur, if you had to be, which dinosaur would you like to be given oral sex?
Barney.
Barney.
He's so soft and cute.
Yeah.
And he's sort of a puppet.
Is there anything?
I don't care.
Again, that it's another
stuffing is so soft.
Is everything a puppet? I want to see if we can get. I'll ask you. I do have an emergency question about puppets, which is, which do you consider to be the sexiest TV puppet? Is it still Barney, or is there a?
It's Barney. I don't know. I've seen the spitting image you guys are going there. That Boris is pretty sexy. His face looks like it's oven ready.
There's a question about which what's the most right wing person that you've ever been sexually attracted to? Do you find? Is it Boris Johnson?
Boris's hair. I don't know what it is. It's like a Yorkshire Terrier. It's very sexy.
There's something sexy about
it. It is very racist. Well, it's quite fun being here because I'm in an environment where, as I say, it's politically complex, but when I go to Australia or here, all the assholes are white. Which, in a weird way, allows me reign that I would never have. I could just rip them apart. They'll get me cancelled, and that's racist. But this, Australia's biggest dickhead is a guy called Peter. One of their biggest. They've got a lot of dickheads. One of their biggest dickheads is a guy called Peter Dutton, and he looks like Chester, so it's just fantastic. It's really this bald asshole.
Yeah, you say that Chester, you reference Harry Hill for looking like Chester.
I need some people.
I think if you say Al Murray, I think you might.
It'll be funny, I'll try
Al Murray.
He looks like that Mick Lynch guy from the RMT.
Does look a bit like Mick Lynch.
Mick. But do you guys know, is he... He's in it because I've been watching your news for like months now. So for me, he's like everywhere. But is he part of your public consciousness? Like if I say Mick Lynch, do most of you know what? Have you a picture?
Yeah. Do you think so?
But you are like
this kind of people. These
not really a sample.
You can look at them. They're very trade union. Audience.
They are. they thought this was a meeting.
Cool. Shall we meet?
Do it,
meet Chester, and then let's do you first. Then I'll show you how it's really done. We'll see. We might ask him some emergency questions.
Right. We're here with Richard Herring. No, not a chance. Not a chance. A podcast. Oh wow, your career's going. Oh my God. Hello. Wow. We're in it. This is finally a venue that's big enough. We're performing in a shoebox. Frickin' hello. Hello. Thank you. My name is Nick Lynch. Or Al Murray. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think Al Murray.
Hey, Al Murray, huh?
Yeah.
Now? That's the face. That's my joke. I do that. That's the face. Racist snake when they get black neighbors. And last night at the List party, oh my God. They shat themselves.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Chester.
You too, Richard Herring. I saw you in my show last night. I was very excited. I was like, oh, my God, there's someone who's getting the jokes. We need one of this.
Shall I ask you an emergency question?
I'd love that. Please hit me. Your socks are very diverse.
Yeah, thank you. I'll do my best.
Amandla.
You're much more observant than...
I know. It's that my eyes don't work.
As a puppet, I'd like to ask this question. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
Do you know what his name is?
I do.
Suck my cock.
Is there anything? Is it how?
There's nothing there.
There's nothing down there.
There's nothing there, guys. And I tried to date Dardy for a while. You have no idea. She's got nothing there either. She took with her leg and made me nuts. And sock it to Botnick.
Have you? As you are the celebrity, I love the fact that...
Thank you. I know, it's crazy. He's riding on my career. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of trying to get rid of him?
Yes, if you could do the ventriloquism, I'd leave him immediately. Okay. What do you want? Are these...
I don't know if I can do the accent.
I'll do whatever that accent you've got is called. Hey. Hello, can you do a South African?
I'm trying to let me see if I can. Can you do a South African? There you go. That's fine. We're in.
That was brilliant.
We're in.
Your name, Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a bit like my Scottish accent. Right? Yes. You could become Scottish.
They say that Afrikaans is just Dutch with a Scottish accent, but you have to speak Afrikaans to get the joke.
Now, I think the problem, there's a few problems with your ventriloquism.
Yeah, and, your lips move.
There is, your lips do move. It's okay. You can see that in a small venue.
Thank you for saying it. I needed something. Because he's been trying to act like he's a ventriloquist, a puppet act where he just stands there.
I don't care. It doesn't care. I mean, you know.
I care.
I'm not one to.
I'm funny. He needs to bring his game.
But Nick, you've obviously got your hand behind. You've only got one hand, and there's a hand.
That's true. Thank you for observing that. That's nice of you to notice.
I'm going to show you what you need to do to get around that. It's got a bit cold in here, isn't it? I'm just going to hold on before I do this bit. It's got a bit cold.
What is happening here?
I'm just putting my jacket on because it's got a bit cold.
What is he doing? I don't know.
I always get this the wrong way around.
This is creepy. It's turned into a sex show.
So look,
who's your hearing?
If you do this...
What is coming out of this jacket? It's like a third penis.
Hold on.
Oh my God, that is so weird. Now that's making
there
an effort,
that's
dude.
That's what you need. You got two arms.
Richard, that's how I'm going to look like when I get old.
This is one of my many ventures.
That's funny.
This is my. This guy's got to pick my microphone up, haven't they? It's complicated, isn't it?
Yes,
isn't
very it? High level entertainment value. The special effects budget on this show is amazing.
Hello, we're here. On the right bollock. There you go. It's right bollock.
That's amazing, look at that. But his lips don't move.
Hello there. Oh dear, not many people here, are there, Richard? Shut up. Stuart Lee's sold out, shut up. This is my right testicle that I lost. That I lost the testicular cancer last year.
That's amazing. And, is that a real story?
Yeah.
That's amazing, it's hilarious. Now there's a backstory. You got a cock and a nut.
Yeah, cock and ball. So I thought the best way to cope with my loss was to create a puppet. I'm not a puppet, you are. And this is what I came up with.
So, it looks like Michael Gove.
And I keep forgetting you can do, when you scrunch up your nose, I remember, I keep on thinking you can do that.
Oh, that's funny. So, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you can do that.
It's definitely me when I get old.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarity.
It looks exactly the same. I think that Richard Herring's testicle might be my dad. Who knew?
Wait, what year were you born in? Did your mum ever come to the Edinburgh Fringe?
1987.
Okay, yeah, that's possible.
There's only one toilet.
Actually, 1987 is not possible. Now I think about it. Didn't have sex. I had sex once in 1987, but not during the Edinburgh Fringe. One time. the interviews. You're a good interviewer. You've got me.
Thank you.
Who
are you talking with your testicle?
He's got all shiny.
I love his veins.
Yeah, well, it's all there, and he's got a little bubo there. I mean, maybe I'll come and do it. Maybe I'll come and do a puppet show. I've got a lot of different puppets.
I'd love it. What
are
the characters?
I've got Prince Carrot. I've got Prince Andrew. I haven't brought him along.
So that would go with your testicle. Which one's Prince Andrew?
All of my puppets are quite racist. So
that makes sense.
I think there's a part of me that is for some reason quite desperate to do that. I might put my one away because I feel self-conscious.
I love it. There's nothing weird about taking your testicle out. And
we'll get a photo together.
In a Corderville studio. Listen, am I going too? You've got to go. No, you can't. Help me, Richard. Help, guys. Help.
Put him away. Put him away.
No. Help. They're doing it again. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn.
So, look, it's terrific to see you. And let's just, before I forget to do this, you're at the Pleasant Bunker 3 at what time?
9:45 each night.
9:45.
The show's called White Noise. I'd be really grateful if you come because you're more than all the people who've come so far.
I think it's a little bit quiet. It's early days.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm bowling the show. It's an honour just to be here, so I'm really grateful for who's come. It's been really fun. So if you can, let people know and come through. Yeah,
it's a lovely show. And you're planning to see Frankie Boyle tonight. Is it weird coming to... I mean, you must be getting used to this. Are you travelling alone apart from all your friends? In the suitcases. Are you travelling alone or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got a team, obviously, with the show and stuff. Yeah. But yes. But it's, I'm sort of used to it, you know. Just travelling around with my little man.
But it's you know, because I find even just like touring the UK on your own, and you're in your own country, it's still like a weird experience. You seem to be doing, you know, you're travelling all over the world all the time.
Well, it's amazing for me to be outside of our little political world, and you have such interesting dynamics going on right now. There's the Pope just went to Canada and apologized to Native Canadians for their sort of crimes and enforced in culture assimilation of, you know, of in that world. So there's a lot going on, and I enjoy being. The South Africa is very small, and the stuff that I'm doing is sort of interesting, and I think it's fun to take it to the rest of the world. So I'm loving it. I'm here with Richard Herring. What am I going to complain about? This is great.
That's nice. And it's a lovely social festival though as well. And you do.
It's fantastic.
You bump into people, but also people.
And it's the best work on earth. So you get stimulated and you see things that you've never seen before, and you learn and you get better, and I love that.
And what's the plan after the Fringe? Are you going home again?
We're going to see what happens here. Of course, you know, if you guys like talking about racism, I'll come back. If not, I'll do other shows. It's sort of Soho Theatre, bringing more shows back, and then probably come with a sort of more fun. Still politics, but just much more characters and stuff. And then it's really about seeing how it lands at this festival, because we have no idea at what level this kind of work is accessible to you guys. I mean, if you enjoy hearing what I've had to say about colonialism and satire of that nature, then we can do more of that work, you know?
And are you still doing, you do an interactive show? Was that during lockdown, or is that still, you've got like an interactive... I saw you talking about an interactive studio you had.
The virtual shows, you know, on Zoom. And, you know, because my TV show is interviewing people.
Yeah.
So a Zoom show is kind of the same, where you're interviewing people. So I'd like gatecrash Zoom meetings, but I don't like those virtual things. TV stuff maybe, but I'd rather be outside of our political world, because, you know, I've interviewed everyone. I've done our political circuit backwards. And so I'm enjoying just going and talking to the world. Plus the conversation... on colonialism and so on, that is a core part of my career, is happening everywhere. California's talking about slavery reparations now. I know that the Labour bought it in as like reparations, but then they backed off. So the conversation's out there, and I think it's great to take it to a bigger conversation than South Africa. So I find it very stimulating as well. It's also interesting connecting global politics. Look how Trevor's done so well at going, here's how the world looks from it. And that's what, because Africans have to go, okay, we need to make ourselves understandable. We do have a way of cross-crossing borders, so that our stuff doesn't sound like it comes from just one place. And it just takes time outside the country, which is what this festival gives you. It's 30 shows or whatever it is an amazing opportunity. It's unlike anything else in the world, with some of the best comedy audiences. And the thing about comedy is it's like sort of like if you put a pot in a pot plant, in a planter, it sort of grows to the shape of what it's in. And South Africa is quite a racist, sexist environment. I don't hate South Africa. There's some ways very progressive. The nice thing about doing shows here is you guys are some of the most comedy savvy audiences. You've seen all the comedy. So it just gives me the opportunity to, okay, let me explore this and see where I can take it. So each night I'm trying, okay, what if I go here? Yeah. What if I go there? And I can get it good in a way that I can't do in Johannesburg.
Sure. I mean, that's what's great about The Fringe. I really hope most comedians are using it for that, in terms of you come with a show and then you get to do it for a month and it gets better.
That's what I'm here for.
Anyway, do go and see the show. It's at the Pleasance Bunker 3 at 9:45. Every night, have you got a night off, or are you going to...
There's one night off in the middle, but yeah.
And do check out upcoming guests. I'm going to go and see Veer Das today, who's my guest tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant.
So, go and see him. And we will be back tomorrow with that. And there's lots of Janie Godley's coming up, and lots of fantastic guests coming up. So please do come and see another one. Will you please give a massive round of applause to the amazing Conrad Koch and Chester. Miss Chester in the back. He's in the back. Thanks so much for coming. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
You have been listening to Rahulastapa from the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring, and my fantastic guest, who I know you know who it was. I'm not going to tell you again. You're not stupid. Thank you to Scamp Regard for playing this music. I'm indebted to my technician and friend, Rhys Thomas. I'm also indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and to all the fantastic crew at the ballroom, at the assembly rooms, and everyone at the assembly rooms in Edinburgh. What a fantastic lot of people you are. Thanks for all your help. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.